Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Wednesday, January 25th, 2017. The time is 9 a.m. If you're joining us off-net or online, this is, again, Senate Finance. We're in Juneau, Alaska, in the state capitol. With me this morning, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Dunleavy.
Good morning.
Senator Olson.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
We should be joined shortly by Senator Michicki. On today's agenda is a presentation from Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. The general public may hear us refer to ASMI or ASMI. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to welcome Alexa Tonkovich. Is that correct? Alexa, if you could place yourself on the record with a first and last name, your affiliation, and then please start your presentation.
For the record, Alexa Tonkovich, Executive Director of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of Senate Finance Committee, for allowing me to speak with you today. This morning, I'd like to give a brief overview of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, or ASMI, talk a little bit about the Alaska seafood industry, some of the challenges and opportunities we face, as well as global factors impacting our value. I'll run briefly through a couple of program highlights and then discuss the FY 17 and 18 budget, as well as legislative intent language surrounding the budget and our PCNs. ASMI is a public-private partnership between the state of Alaska and the Alaska seafood industry. We promote all commercially harvested seafood from the state. We are guided by a governor-appointed industry board of directors, and we are the official seafood promotional arm for the state of Alaska. The Alaska seafood industry directly employs 60,000 workers in the state, making us the largest private sector employer. We contribute approximately $138.6 million in taxes, fees, and self-assessments, which help fund state, local, and federal government programs. These two charts show the breakup of the Alaska seafood harvest by volume and by value. By volume, this is the average of 2014 and 2015, about 6 billion pounds. This chart clearly shows the importance of whitefish to our industry. However, I think when you look at the value chart on the right, this shows that the real strength of our industry is in its diversity. We're not dependent just on our landmark species, but our value comes from a number of different species.
Ms. Tonkovich, do you, this is Senator McKinnon, do you have a regional distribution of where the fish are caught and brought into? I'm thinking that I've heard that Dutch Harbor has the highest, is the largest world port for pollock specifically. Do you have some regional breakdown so that as we look at this issue, we understand the economic impact of how we use ASMI dollars?
Madam Chairman, I believe we can pull those figures for you. You're correct that Dutch Harbor and Kodiak are consistently two of the largest ports in North America, but we can certainly pull those harvest value and volume figures for you.
Thank you.
Export is incredibly important to the Alaska seafood industry. About 60 to 70% of the value in any given year comes from export markets. Alaska seafood is exported to 120 countries, with our top trade partners being China, Japan, and the EU.
We have a question. Just a moment. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Tonkovich, I guess one of the questions I should have asked it earlier when you were laying out the organizational portion. What role do you play with the CDQs that are so prevalent out in my district?
The CDQs are certainly partners of ours. If they're considered processors, they may pay into our landing tax. I can't exactly answer that. I could look into that for you.
They don't have a direct relationship.
Only just that we're partners and that we work with them closely when we can.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson.
ASMI is judged first and foremost by the ex-vessel value of the seafood harvest. There are a number of components that impact value that are outside of our control that I'll go into a bit more detail on in the next slide. Over time, you can see the trend has generally been upward, but the last few years we have seen a downtick in value. This is primarily due to the strong U.S. dollar, an oversupply of some species globally, and smaller harvests of our high-value species like black cod, halibut, and most recently crab. Market conditions create challenges for our fishermen and for our processors. We face considerable competition from farmed, imported seafood, and other proteins. However, we still believe there's great opportunity in the industry for innovation, development of new markets, and better outreach to younger and more diverse demographics. So as I mentioned, there are a number of global factors that impact the value of the Alaska seafood resource. The past couple of years, we've been battling a strong dollar, which makes our products more expensive compared to our competitors in overseas markets. It also makes the U.S. market a desirable market for imported seafood. Sustainability is a growing issue for our industry, and although we have a great story to tell in Alaska, the proliferation of eco-labels have reframed how we are allowed to message on this topic. As I mentioned, we do face fierce competition from farmed seafood and imported seafood. Compared to our wild harvest, which we've seen in recent years, can be unpredictable. The Russian embargo enacted in 2014 closed off our largest roe market outside Japan and diverted farmed salmon that would have gone to Russia into many of our major markets, including the U.S. The political conflict in that region has also diminished the Ukrainian market, which is another strong roe market. On the upside, global supplies of salmon are tightening somewhat this year compared to last. The yen has strengthened against the dollar, which is great for Japan, one of our largest export markets, and we do believe there's good long-term demand, particularly for wild seafood. So just a few program highlights to show some of the marketing work that we do around the world. In all of our marketing efforts, it's important to stay on top of trends in food, commerce, and communication. ASME sponsors food trucks all around the world. This is an example of one in Germany. We also do this in Spain and Brazil. These visit street fairs, farmers markets, and other culinary events. More and more shopping, as I'm sure you know, is done online, even for food and even for seafood. This is particularly true in Asia and the EU. In Asia, we work with a major e-commerce site like Alibaba's Tmall to promote dozens of Alaska species. The buy-in for these promotions is quite low, and the sales generated range from $1 to $2.4 million per promotion. The consumer reach of these websites is tremendous. In the UK, we've started an activity to develop so-called salmon sommeliers. This activity allows chefs to sample all five species of Alaska salmon and make tasting notes on the different features of each species. Thanks to the Alaska State Legislature, last August 10th was the first ever Alaska Wild Salmon Day. In order to generate excitement for this holiday, we used primarily social media, but also some traditional media relations. And the day in total generated 94 million impressions digital through digital and PR efforts. More good news for seafood and for Alaska seafood. In 2015, U.S. seafood consumption jumped up by nearly 1 pound per person. This is the biggest leap in seafood consumption in the U.S. in 20 years. In 2015, Alaska seafood became the number one brand among proteins on U.S. menus, beating out Angus beef for the first time ever.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you know what species had the largest growth?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that shrimp is the number one species consumed by Americans.
In growth, with the jump?
I believe it was shrimp primarily. Unfortunately, we'd like it to be Alaska seafood, and we'll keep working on that.
Thank you.
I have a question there, Ms. Tonkovich. Can you tell me how much seafood is consumed? It says up nearly 1 pound, but how much seafood is consumed by then an average U.S. person?
Sorry, Madam Chairman. I believe it's 15 pounds per person, but I can confirm that number and get back to you.
Thank you. Please continue. Senator Bishop, did you have a question? Please continue.
As I mentioned, sustainability certification is increasingly important to market access. Alaska has developed our own certification scheme, and we were the first certification to successfully benchmark against a globally developed benchmarking standard called GSSI. Our U.S. food service program has had success in recent years with a swap meat campaign. This started as a competition for professional chefs, asking them to swap out meat in traditional recipes for Alaska seafood. So instead of chicken parmesan, you have Alaska cod parmesan. We've turned these into recipes, and the recipes have run as advertisements in magazines like Cooking Light, Martha Stewart, Food and Wine, and the Alaska Airlines magazine. Whenever we can, we try to work with other Alaska groups to promote the state more generally. This summer, we worked with the Alaska Brewing Company out of Juneau on a co-op promotion. This was with Texas retailer HEB, which has 320 stores in the state of Texas. And to better reach our in-state constituents, we've hosted a number of informal town hall meetings to provide harvest and market updates to fishermen and to fishing communities. Last year, we visited Anchorage, Juneau, Cordova, Petersburg, and Naknek, and we hope to have a few more this spring. So delving into the budget, this is the FY17 current year budget. Just to walk through ASME's budget composition, each year, one half of 1%, 0.5% of the ex-vessel value of Alaska's commercial seafood harvest is paid by processors to the State Department of Revenue. These are statutory designated program receipts, SDPR. This is the $9.6 million collected this year number that you'll see on the chart above. ASME also receives about $4.5 million annually in federal funds through the USDA Market Access Program. This is used to fund our international programs. This is a competitive grant, and ASME competes annually with about 100 other commodity groups, including beef, pork, and chicken. ASME's state funds, state general funds, have traditionally been used as a matching contribution to this grant and have also allowed for variability in industry receipts from year to year. In the current year, ASME receives $2 million in general funds, and the governor's budget has us at $1 million for FY18. And this is just a visual breakdown of the revenue stream, SDPR being blue, federal funds in gray, and state general funds in orange. So addressing specifically the legislative intent language surrounding the budget, you should have a report in front of you that was submitted by ASME through the Department of Commerce regarding the intent language to last year's legislature. Just to briefly paraphrase, it is the intent that ASME develop a plan to phase out reliance on UGF by FY19. ASME has developed a three-pronged plan to reduce expenditures, pursue alternative funding sources, and consider increased revenue generated from the voluntary seafood marketing assessment. Our reduced spend plan, which is shown in more detail on the next slide, is a gradual, sustainable ramp down of our expenditures. We've also formed a supplemental funding task force of staff and contractors to seek out additional sources of funding. So far, we've been successful in being awarded a couple of additional federal grants, which are smaller in size, but will help supplement our current funding. And we will explore options to increase industry revenue. According to ASME statutes, the revenue can be increased by a vote of the processors from the current 0.5 to 0.6, which would raise about an additional $1 million annually. The board will conduct a periodic assessment of industry's ability to do this. We are actively working to implement this three-pronged plan to ensure that our agency operations continue at a stable, predictable funding level. And I know that this is quite small. It is in your packet. In FY16, the ASME Board of Directors reduced our spend plan in order to preserve funds into FY17. We realized that without additional revenue and without significant spending reductions, our current level of expenditures was not sustainable. This table shows ASME's spend plan has been reduced in the current year. And through reduced spend plan and the use of prior year carry forward revenues, we will gradually ramp down our expenditures to a more sustainable level. It is imperative that ASME protect and maintain federal USDA Market Access Program funding, about $4.5 million a year. This grant does require a match, which was previously provided through State of Alaska General Funds and will now need to be matched through industry funds. In outgoing years, this may disproportionately impact our domestic marketing program since the grant is exclusively for international. On to the second piece of legislative intent language, again paraphrasing. It is the intent of the legislature that all ASME positions are located in Alaska by FY19. ASME's domestic retail and food service marketing programs are based in Seattle. The ASME board recognizes the intent language of the previous legislature. We are looking closely at this issue, and we intend to keep it an active discussion. However, the board is not prepared to execute this recommendation without careful consideration of how to mitigate the impact this would have on ASME's ability to achieve our mission. There are real challenges in the U.S. market, which is vitally important to the Alaska industry, and we have had remarkable success toward our mission thanks to the partnerships we've forged. We will continue to look for ways to achieve both of our goals.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The board is continuing to discuss it, so they don't have no plans to bring those positions to Alaska. We are seeing a marked decline in other jobs, and the fish resource comes from the state waters. What is the total value of those positions, including benefits, that might assist the economy of Alaska and be able to hire Alaskans instead of Washingtonians?
Mr. Chairman, the positions located in positions located in Seattle with salary and benefits is estimated at $916,944 for FY17.
That includes benefits?
Yes.
What about their support budget, travel, office space? What is that?
The rent for the Seattle office is $82,706.
And I'm wondering, does the board feel that Alaskan individuals do not have the capability or the capacity or the understanding of salmon and its resources and marketing? What I find that would be hard for me to believe. So I'm wondering, what is the justification that they're just wanting to talk about it and not come up with an action plan like you have come up with on the match? It seems nebulous to me that the board is just wanting to talk about it and has not come up with an action plan to bring more than $1 million to the state's economy when the economy is suffering. It seems not responsive to the request, in my view.
Mr. Chairman, certainly I can pass that message on to our board. I believe that they are certainly understanding of the state's and your office's position on this. Our location in Seattle allows us cost-effective market access to the domestic market, as well as relationships and interaction with our marketing partners.
But if it's going to cost a little bit more and employ and assist Alaskans in this time of downturn, it may be more wise to bring that back home. I can understand the proximity, but it seems to me that Alaskans have the capacity and the capability, and we are living in a technological age where many of the arguments of the Permanent Fund Board in moving to closer markets where investment are in New York or down south have been discussed, but they have overcome those because of technology, which is even more crucial to our state. But they are able to do that with the Permanent Fund investments. And even more critical, I would say, is that the time frame when markets change between New York and Alaska are even more insurmountable. But for the board to use that excuse in not bringing those positions to Alaska to help Alaskans seems unfathomable to me. And I think that I would request that the board give it more consideration than just lip service to something that I think is critical to Alaska that can provide $1 million. Paychecks are paychecks, and Alaskans are struggling at this point. And for the board not to realize that gives me great concern.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Ms. Tonkovich, did you have any further response?
No.
I have several questions. Are there questions from committee members first? Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. Through the chair, You stated that there is a state match required to keep the $4.5 million federal USDA market access program. What is the amount of that state match?
It's not spelled out in federal statute exactly what level you have to match. Typically, we've tried to match it one-to-one. We're no longer able to do that, but it's not an exact formula since it's a competitive grant. There are a number of factors that we're scored on, including exports, performance measures. So the match is one component of that, and it's not directly spelled out how our decrease impacts our score.
Senator Von Amhoff, follow-up?
No, thank you very much.
So one of my questions was along the same line on the matching money and how you're responding. To lay the groundwork for those that might be listening to this conversation, the 29th second session of the Alaska State Legislature asked ASME, the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, to come back with a plan on reduced use of general fund dollars based on the critical condition of our savings accounts and the drawdowns that we were having to make. So that's why we're having the discussion today, and I really appreciate the framework of all the good work that ASME is doing in marketing Alaska products around the globe and inside the U.S. market. But we don't really get to the meat of the conversation until slide 19, which doesn't provide a whole lot of insight, and then 20. So we have a very limited response from my perspective to the question and the reason that you're before us today. But with respect to that, if we could have a further discussion at your board level on the use of your matching funds and how you're able to maintain your federal grant, as we have already had to retract over 50% of your general fund spending based on the state's inability to continue the program right now in these critical times for our economy, as Senator Hoffman points out, as far as jobs. And when Senator Hoffman is talking about a job in Alaska and by Alaskans, it's very important. We crossed the line in December of 2015 or 16 as being the highest unemployment rate. We went above the national average, and I believe we're now at the highest unemployment rate of all states. And so this is one reason why we're looking at those, which will follow up to a question for you. I see that on slide 3 that you are asserting that you employ 60,000 workers in Alaska. Can you tell me how many of those are residents and how many of them are non-residents?
I do not have that number right in front of me. I would be happy to follow up with you after this hearing.
So we would appreciate knowing how many Alaskans are being put to work and how that plays out for the industry. If I move on to slide 19, where we start talking about money, it's difficult as a state comparatively to look at your ending carry-forward balance. I certainly believe you're acting responsibly as an organization to maintain high reserves. But you're asking the state to invest $2 million when we went through over two-thirds of our savings already in drawdowns. And so is there a way that we can eliminate the FY17 based on the critical position that the state is in not drawing that $2 million from savings? We don't have it. We can't make payroll. We are drawing into our savings account. You appear to have a stronger portfolio, at least ratio-wise, right now than in the state of Alaska. That's excluding the permanent fund and $55 billion. I don't want to play the poor card. I'm just saying that you have healthy reserves that you're projecting out for 3 years. I can see the drawdown based on the state's moving away from general fund dollars. But is there a way that we can eliminate that and not harm the board while we come up with a plan, or you do, to replace the general fund spending like we've asked you to do?
Madam Chairman, I believe with the intent language it was to replace general funds by FY19, so that was the plan that we presented to last year's legislature. We have not discussed anything beyond that since that was not written into the intent language.
I can appreciate that. if you would take to your board that I believe this is the fifth consecutive year that we've had to draw substantially from savings. And when I say substantial, I'm talking billions of dollars out of our savings. I know this is something that we all support. I certainly support it. I don't want you to go away, but we certainly could help in a bridge in reducing general fund as much as possible. And I'm not talking about going back and taking FY17 dollars. I'm talking prospectively looking at those FY18 dollars. Is there a way that we can eliminate them with the least amount of harm to you so that you can go into your reserves a bit more in the starting years and that we can work together as you've proposed? I read all your documents last night, so if you give me a moment to switch over to your plan. One of the hesitations that you wrote in your plan on page 2, below the charts, the first paragraph, it says that ASME board needs flexibility to react to change in market conditions or disasters. So you're asking us not to draw down your acceptance level of appropriation, but other departments inside of the state actually have a lever that they go to the LBNA committee, Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, in the interim, and if they need additional spending authority, they come to us for that. So that's one example of a budget reduction that could be done. I know it's hollow money. The general public may or may not understand what that is, but it's authority if you could find something else, but that's one way to reflect a downturn in the state's economy, and the other is in FY18 to eliminate that $2 million. So how would you respond, and what would be the challenges to total elimination a year sooner, given that oil prices are starting to recover, but that we're still looking at a $2.7 billion hole? I know it's a small amount of money, but the budget that the governor's presented doesn't fund community assistance, which is important to all of us, as well as the communities that you serve to.
Madam Chairman, thank you. To answer your question about the UGF, just to clarify, we are at $2 million for the current year. We're at $1 million in the governor's budget for FY18 next year. If that were to be reduced, then we would draw down a greater percentage of our reserve funding and possibly reduce our marketing spend plan just slightly so that we don't draw down to zero. But that's, of course, the decision for your body. In terms of our spend authority, we have asked to maintain our budget authority, which, as you mentioned, is not actual funding. It's just the authority to collect funding. In the past, this has given our board flexibility to react quickly to changing market conditions. Fukushima was a good example. Huge pink harvest, I believe, 2 years ago was another good example where we were able to put additional marketing dollars on a specific campaign, and we have had to react very quickly in the past. These things can happen overnight, and the lead time on our marketing activities is such that if something happens and we have to respond, it does have to be quite quickly. We've also asked to keep our authority higher in the event that we are able to raise our industry contributions or be awarded additional grant funding.
Follow-up, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just if you could provide my office with what you believe the breakdown is of your $138.6 million that the industry contributes in taxes, fees, and self-assessments to help state, federal, and local governments, and break down that by category and by state, federal, and local.
Through the chair.
Greatly appreciated.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, those are from the McDowell Group study of our economic impact, and I can definitely have that breakdown given to your office.
Thank you. Ms. Tonkovich, I also read the enabling statutes last night that created ASME. Can you tell me how many processors, how many eligible processors there are when it comes to voting? I see that you need 25% written to be able to put a question before your group, and then you need a 51% for eligibility out of those processors. So how many processors are we talking about?
Madam Chairman, I would have to look that up. Are you asking for the number of processors in the state that would be eligible to vote in that election?
Right.
I can find that out and get back to you.
It's based on a percentage, so we're going to need the percentage. And I believe you had numbers for 2014?
It's 15. Processors that represent the value of, or more than 50% of the value of the seafood landings in a given year. And I would have to get back to you as to if you're looking for the specific number of processors that would make up that proportion. I would have to get back to you.
I'm trying to understand the voting, because just like other boards, they're looking at creative ideas to solve or be partners in this advertising for Alaska and Alaskan products. But with the shortfall of unrestricted money available to us to do that, we're looking for alternative ways. And so it appears that the industry has taxed itself. Is that 0.4%, 0.6% to create a funding mechanism for ASME?
Madam Chairman, we're currently at 0.5%, and then 0.6 is the highest that we can statutorily assess the industry at this time.
Okay. Along Senator Hoffman's questions, the industry receives quite a few tax credits, and tax credits are a diversion of taxes that would be due to local and state governments. And so if we could get a breakdown of those, I know that we have the revenue resource book, so it should be easy for us to establish that. But fishing, as far as the bottom line goes, has been receiving many tax credits that they benefit from versus the returns going into the state government. And that's why I asked the question about how many workers are actually Alaskans or not with the tax credits that are out there. I have two other questions regarding the food truck. Is there a way in that those investments, you said that is happening internationally, I think it's a great marketing tool, but is there a way that you can measure the effectiveness of the use of that program? And if so, what are those measurable criteria to actually promote inside of a different geographic region the purchase or the use of Alaska products?
Madam Chairman, for each activity we have, and particularly for our international program, since it is grant-funded, we do have different performance measures, different metrics. It can be anything from participation to sales figures. We do conduct consumer research in those markets to see the uptick of awareness of the Alaska brand. For the food truck specifically, I can't answer that directly, but we do have different measures for each activity that we conduct.
Ms. Tonkovich, if we measured actual sales, would we see a sales growth versus an uptick of understanding the product and the awareness of the product? Do we have increased sales of Alaska product where we've placed advertising programs? If it's not just the food truck and data there, in some of the great ideas that you've had to involve chefs in creating seafood opportunities, do we see upticks in sales? I believe you referred to $1 million in one of the programs.
Again, it really, sorry, Madam Chairman, again, it depends market by market and program by program. We do measure sales whenever we can, if that is what we're trying to promote, as well as consumer awareness, and it really varies from market to market. I'd be happy to share some of our market reports from the different regions with your office if that would be of interest.
I don't know that we need those. I just was wondering if you're tracking the actual dollars. I would think that would be the underlying goal, is to sell more Alaska seafood, so I would think that would be a parameter in everything that we do. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, through the chair. The question that I have earlier, we were talking about CDQs, and you indicated CDQs are partners and we work closely where we can. So the first question is, what does that actually mean? And secondly, do you know, do CDQs invest some of their revenue back into the seafood industry? And is that a potential partner for you in post, 2018, 2019, and so forth in this environment?
Through the chair, I can't directly answer the revenue where the CDQs goes. I would have to get back to you on that. In terms of what I mean by partnerships, one example is that APICTA sits on one of our committees that helps drive one of our programs. When we visit rural communities. We do often work with CDQ groups. When I took a group to Nome, we worked with the Norton Sound group. When we went to Platinum, we worked with the group there. So we'll work with them when we, say if we take a trade mission or a press mission through their region, we'll work to tour their plants or their facilities or to try to tell the CDQ story as part of the Alaska story.
Follow up, Senator Von Imhoff?
No.
Thank you. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. excuse me. We had a good visit yesterday in the office, and I think it would be not my style if I didn't dovetail in behind Senator Hoffman. I think your board probably just got the message loud and clear on those six PCNs in Seattle, but I'd like you know, to at least from my standpoint, to take back your board, to really take a hard look at, can you split the baby to some degree and at least get 80% Alaska higher if you can't do it all? The next thing is Senator McKinnon, the chairwoman, asked a question, and I'm going to take a leap of faith from my DOL days. I think that number is still trending pretty consistent on the non-resident hire rate in the actual boots on the ground people work in the industry is about 70%. That runs about 70% and non-residents in the processing, and I could spend 30 minutes telling you why and what we did when I was at labor to try to turn that tide on those legacy jobs in the industry through trainings. But the last thing I'd like to mention, and we briefly touched on this yesterday, but it just jogged my memory right here. We talked about Northway spends between $40 and $60 million on advertisement, and I told you how impressed I was with their advertisements, and if you've never seen them, they're quite well done. And we're now going into a $14 million a year budget for you in advertisements. But my question to you is, and you could get back to my office on this, is how many pounds of product does Norway sell for their number, and how many pounds of seafood? We know Alaska sells, but I guess we just need the Norway equation. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. If we've had several questions, Ms. Tonkovic, do you think it would be fair to ask to have a response? When does your board meet again?
The next scheduled, Madam Chairman, the next scheduled board meeting is May 8th in Juneau.
I'd like to hear a response by February 15th. It will affect the budget, so May is a little bit too late to have the responses. The legislature, I hope, will be home with a financial plan in place, as well as a budget. So is 3 weeks enough time to answer the questions that we've asked today?
Madam Chairman, just to clarify, which responses specifically from my board? Certainly my office can respond to these, the questions of stats and statistics fairly quickly, but in terms of a board response, can I get specifically what you would like,
Senator,
from them?
Thank you. Senator Hoffman and Senator, followed up by Senator Bishop, asked the question about Alaska Hire of the actual ASME offices for marketing. I certainly understand that there would be an additional cost for travel if we locate those jobs in Alaska and they are required to fly somewhere to conduct their business. But it has been asserted, and I can totally understand that technology has taken us leaps away from having to be in the same room with people, and how does that work? So there is a belief at this table that you should have either all or some of your marketers located in the state of Alaska versus in Seattle. There was a question on matching funds. That may not need a board action, but on the matching funds, we'd like to understand how you're using in-kind contributions or other ways to match your grant. I would assert that the state has been foregoing revenue for processors on a variety of tax credits that is a state investment already that should be able to be used as matching money instead of undesignated general funds. So the tax credit discussion may be a board opportunity that are specifically benefiting the processors. I think of the ICE tax credit. I know all of them may not be accessing each of those credits, but the state is foregoing revenue. I would have to look at the indirect expense report to see how much that is for the processors specifically, but I'm hoping that you could use that as your matching money if we were to eliminate or at least temporarily suspend all UGF in the FY18 budget. The carry forward dollars, you know, if you have a policy on carry forward, we'd like to see what that looks like. You have significant reserves one full year. Alaska will be down to less than one full year in our reserves, at least in our constitutional budget reserve combined with the statutory budget reserve. Very different numbers, but easier maybe for you to respond than us. We asked, or I asked, about how you know that the programs that you are using the funds for UGF are actually having positive outcomes that increase sales of food versus the increased awareness of the Alaska project, and maybe there's a study out there that shows the awareness followed by increased demand. I believe that the staff, the team, can put together the employee statistics on the assertion of 60,000 employees. We'd like to know how many of those are Alaskans. Are they part-time or full-time? Geographically, how they're deployed. And then the last point that hasn't been brought up that, and please, Senators, if I haven't, CDQ was another question, as how CDQ folds into a cooperative effort with what you're doing, or if they do not, then just tell us so. Let us know how you are partnering with CDQ. And finally, from a marketing perspective, we had ATIA in front of us that had a different plan. Alexa, you're very knowledgeable about this industry, and we appreciate all the programs and the activities that are happening to raise awareness. I just would assert, is there a way that from a marketing perspective that we could unite some kind of marketing effort with ATIA, who's marketing tourism, and other groups like yourself that it's marketing Alaska seafood, a product that comes from Alaska? Is there a bang for our buck by consolidating or collaborating in any of these efforts so that we get a double hit or a double bang for what's going out there? So it is great to come on an adventure of a lifetime to Alaska, and we prize our streams and waters. So showing Alaska salmon by the ATIA group is a benefit to you to brand and market together. So if we do have tax credits or other things that are using a state resource that could be deployed somewhere, is there any way we could dovetail or get an increased, it's an old cliche, but a better bang for our buck out there in that global market? So those are the items that I heard questions about. I asked you for the eligible processors on your vote because I do appreciate that you're taxing yourself, but you're taxing yourself to benefit yourself, too. You're trying to drive the price of the product up, which is to be commended. I truly appreciate that, and I understand the industry wanting the state to be part of that because overall the state benefits when the seafood industry is healthy in Alaska. Senators, is there something I forgot that we were asking for? Closing comments that you'd like to leave us with, Ms. Tonkovich.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Certainly we can follow up on all of these specifics. I will pass the message along to our board. I did just want to clarify that ASME has currently 13 PCNs in Alaska, so two-thirds of our marketing staff are located in Alaska. And I also, we can certainly provide more information about our metrics of success. Primarily, though, we are looking at ex-vessel value. That is one measure. And then in our export programs, we do look at increases in exports. So we are looking at direct benefits to consumption or purchase sales of Alaska seafood. And certainly in terms of ATIA, we've always found a benefit in the past to working with Alaska Tourism, and we'll certainly continue to do so. And I absolutely agree with your sentiment that when we work together, we can do better. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with all of you today, and I will get these responses as quickly as possible.
Thank you. Senator Dunleavy.
Yes, Chair. Thank you for your presentation. You came back, and we asked you to do a task, and you came back and reported on it. Just a thought, as we go through this process where Alaska is basically realigning itself, and money that, for the most part, came from the oil industry may no longer be available to assist with some of these programs. One thing maybe you may want to have a conversation with your board on is, what are some things Alaska could do potentially on the regulatory side of things that might be able to assist you? In other words, if it's not going to be monetary assistance, what can we do to change some regulations that may allow you to either market differently, harvest differently? I think, at least myself, I can't speak with others, but for others, but I would be interested in seeing how we can assist industries without, in lieu of money coming from the general fund, how we can assist in other ways. So it's just a thought.
Other questions or comments from senators? Ms. Tonkovich, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Is there anything else to come before the Senate Finance Committee today? Tomorrow, Thursday, January 26, the Senate Finance Committee will hear from the Alaska Mental Health Trust. They will be presenting their FY18 budget report as well as requests to the legislature. With that, it is 9:46, and we're adjourned.